Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
He's like, wire me the $18 million right now.
That's...
Really?
That's $18 million.
You're lying.
Did you know that?
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
That was some crazy.
No, I lose. What are my blue tacks? What's it say?
I live right by your office.
I know.
It's amazing. You're iconic.
I remember when you bought it. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Real estate to me is just like kind of who you know, if you have someone that's like a friend or
sure.
Like, I mean, obviously they have to know what they're doing, but are you good?
I'm great.
You all good? All right, cool. So we got Ryan Serhant here. I am, this is like really informal. Like there's no like whatever. So we're just chilling. But my audience might not know this, but I have like a extreme interest in real estate. I love real estate.
Oh, nice.
You know, I figured, Ryan Serhant is a legend in New York. We'll get into all that and why I'm a big fan of you, but we'll start off by saying that your company was one of the listing agents on my apartment.
Yeah.
That I just moved into. So
congrats.
Thank you. That was great. So yeah. So I mean, how did you even know that I bought that? Just from
we were we represented the sellers. And so
yeah.
when your agent made the offer, your name was on it. And I remember Taylor called me and they were like, oh, it's a really cool guy. I just made an offer to buy the apartment.
Yeah. Oh,
nice.
I had just came from LA. I have this like weird, I move around a lot.
Were you in LA? Like you were living there?
Yeah. During COVID, I bought a house in the West Hollywood Hills.
Got it. You still own that house?
No, okay. I sold it. I bought it and sold it in 8 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Classic COVID real estate.
Deal. Yeah. Yeah. And
best real estate market of all time, man. If someone had told me then what I know now, it's just crazy.
Well, you thought that it would be, you know, the world was ending and everything, but actually real estate and stuff was booming, you know, like the prices didn't really like go down that much. Maybe, oh, because the interest rates were lower, you know?
Well, no one had to shelter in place at the office.
Right.
It was all shelter in place at home.
And so then, people wanted houses.
Yeah. I remember like people also, for the most part, people hadn't yet fully recovered from the housing crash of 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I got into the business that day, like September 15th, 2008 was my first day as a real estate agent in New York City.
Oh, wow.
Lehman Brothers was crashing and I was like eating a bagel and I just had no money. So it wasn't like, it didn't change my life the way it would today.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is just crazy things that happen in the world. And
yeah.
And then it was just really, really hard.
Yeah.
It was just a hard.
Yeah. That's the hardest time to enter the real estate business.
Well, in hindsight, it was great because I learned. And my early days were like the worst of times. And so it was just kind of all uphill from that point.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But the housing crisis was so devastating, especially to Americans who had just been sold this bag of goods from big banks. It wasn't like Paulie was telling people like, hey, go get a mortgage. It's this crazy thing. Mm-hmm. And then Paulie was an asshole.
Right.
It was like, JP Morgan said, here you go. Wells Fargo said, here you go. Yeah. Countrywide Mortgage, all the guys that failed,
yeah,
you know, said, here you go, here you go, here you go. And so it, you know, when you have the big banks and the federal governments offering you something, you're like, oh, this will never hurt me.
Yeah.
I'll never get hurt.
Right.
Right. The country is saying it's okay.
Yeah. The government, the bank is backing me up. Did you ever see The Big Short?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So when that,
So when that
fell apart, and people got hurt and the housing market crashed and people went into mass foreclosures. I mean, people hadn't really fully recovered. So I hadn't really done a real estate deal from 2008 until 2020 with people who really were buying because they absolutely just wanted it. Mm-hmm. You know, like most sales were, you know, that I would do for those 12 years were like, we had a period of, you know, in 14 and 15 where people were buying homes because they wanted to. Mm-hmm. But most of the times people were buying or selling homes because they needed to.
Right.
Mostly it was a need thing. Like, hey, I'm moving from LA. I need a house.
Yeah.
Hey, my wife has a baby. I need a third bedroom. Hey, I just lost my job. I need to sell. You know, it's just a lot of need. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden COVID hits and everyone hunkers down for a hot second and they're at their kitchen counter and they look left and they got like a kid and they look right and their wife won't stop talking to them. And they're like,
I need a bigger place.
We need to move.
Yeah.
And so the reason the housing market went so crazy during COVID wasn't just because of low interest rates, because rates had been low. Rates had been low since 2008.
Yeah.
Like we'd been in sub 3%. It was because you took 12 years of demand basically.
Mm-hmm.
And you lit a fire under that stick of dynamite that had just been sitting there for 12 years.
Right.
And then everyone made the same decision on day one. Like it was just like, I remember June of 2020, people starting to like go back out to open like things and people were making sight unseen offers. I'm like, I'm not an essential worker in New York City. I'm not allowed to leave my house.
Mm.
Like, how do I do this?
And right.
All right, so we got to sell through video. We got to sell
crazy.
Virtually. Yeah, it was nuts. And then like we sold a house for $15 million sight unseen to someone coming from California because it was worse there.
Right.
Than it was in New York.
Wow.
And for 2020, New York City was on heavy discount, like 50% off. And then 2021, everything changed. And that's like, you know, I met a guy on the Upper East Side. He's like, I got to get out of here. I'm like, let's go to Florida. And that was Tuesday. On Friday, he was in contract to buy a house for just under $140 million. And he made his mind up on Thursday.
Yeah.
Like it was just.
Wait, time out. Like, Amir, his mic is a little low.
Dude, we just sold this townhouse on Washington Place. That was.
He's like, wire me the $18 million right now.
That's.
Really?
That's $18 million.
You're lying.
Did you know that?
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
That was some crazy.
No, I literally, what are my blue tax? What's it say?
With wire.
That's what I literally just said.
Insane.
Yeah, 80 Washington, Greenwich Village.
Borderline. I just pulled that number.
Completely insane. Completely insane. That was so weird. I was like, are you in my phone?
We're locked in.
Yep.
Okay, exactly.
Yeah.
Yo,
close it. Jesus Christ. And then we get another one. Hold on. Let me just scroll down.
We're watching greatness right now.
I feel this like I'm getting more rich. Just
Wait. Let me just see.
This is like watching Patrick Mahomes in the fourth quarter.
Uh-huh. Let me
see. I'm watching Ryan Serhant close a real estate deal for $40 million.
Over tech.
Like it's nothing. Oh, yeah.
Wait, why don't you just do this live? This is a different one. Hold on one second.
Oh, yeah. Let's do a different one. Let's see.
Let's just see.
Hey.
Hey, did the contract get signed?
It's signed. We're just waiting on the wire to be inbound.
And what's the purchase price?
$20 million.
Nice. Congrats. All right, I'll talk to you later. Just wanted to check.
$20 million. That's
okay, but yeah,
that's chump change.
Yep.
Okay, bye.
Wow, watching
different deals.
Watching greatness.
That's insane.
Upper West Side.
Wait, I have so many things I want to ask. So first of all,
it's a lot of text. Yeah,
it's funny that you're like. Because I know like when you did my deal, well, when your company did my deal or whatever, I'm like, Ryan isn't actually still working as a realtor because you're like such a celebrity now. I know you're from the reality TV world and stuff like that. So
yeah, we're coming back.
Does it have a name?
It does. I just can't talk about it yet.
Okay. But you're going to be back on TV.
Yeah, Netflix in June. Well, I can't say that either. But anyway, okay. Yeah, Netflix, but yeah.
Okay.
They like gave me approval last Tuesday and Andy Cohen totally went nuts.
I saw that. That's why. Wait, so do you still work as an actual realtor? So when you're doing those videos and stuff like that, like you're actually talking to the clients?
Yep. Yeah.
Talking 100%. To some Saudi prince somewhere. Like, yo, like wire me the 50 million.
Yeah. So I started building I got into real estate in 2008. I did rentals in Koreatown, the Bronx and Harlem. For a while. And then
that's
I just
where Sienna lives.
Yeah.
Nice.
No, I'm kidding. Some trap house somewhere in Brooklyn. Nice,
exactly. And so then I started the renters turn into your first like buyer and seller clients, right? Okay. So I rented an apartment to one person who's like, hey, do you do sales? And it's like, yes, I do. And I'd never done one before.
And you weren't on TV yet?
No. This is like 2009.
Okay. Because you came here to be an actor.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. And then you do.
Yeah. I got fired off the soap opera and then I had no more money.
Yeah.
And so then it was like move home to Colorado or stay in New York City. And what do you do when the acting thing doesn't work out?
Real estate.
You go into sales, right? Yeah. It's the same thing. Improv is sales. It's yes and all the time. It's just, let's go.
It's like in Vegas and stuff, like all the bottle girls I know, they become realtors.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the evolution of a bottle girl.
Like the selling. Sunset type.
Yes. Girls.
Yeah.
New York is harder because it's so expensive to live here.
Okay.
So, you know, it's like casting of the reality shows in New York is always tricky because the networks are like, but in LA, but in Vegas, but in Miami. I'm like, yeah, because the average studio apartment isn't $5,000 a month.
Right.
Like it's, you know, you also have to make a lot of money here.
Yeah. New York is like, it's gritty and it's like,
there
are some sexy elements to it, but like,
sexy.
There's no beach.
I don't want like a Selling Sunset looking girl selling me my apartment. Yeah. I want like some like old Jewish lady.
Yeah.
Dude, that's what.
New York. You know what I mean? I want like Barbara Corcoran or whatever. Like I've looked at places in Brooklyn and stuff and like some like old lady that's like been around like forever, like looks like she lives like in.
She looks like the first computer.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. She's got like, the data from the first computer.
I'm like her. I want her.
Yeah. Are those houses real? I mean, not
which ones?
And selling Sunset? Like are they actually selling them?
Yeah, they're real. Yeah. The Oppenheim is a real company.
But
see that feeling right there is a real feeling that people have. So that's like when Andy Cohen talked about our show, he's like, it's gonna be real, right?
Yeah.
So we can talk about that. I don't even know what I was talking about before. Those renters turned into my first buyers and sellers and like little studios and FiDi and stuff like that. And then I built a team.
Okay.
Because I was like, all right, if I'm gonna do this, then I gotta be the best. Like,
so you were good at it. You were good at the sales.
So I mean, I was learning, but I wasn't from New York. So I didn't know New York. I wasn't tapped in. I didn't go to the schools. Like my dad wasn't on Park Avenue. Like so I wasn't from here.
Right.
The one thing I did have going for me though was I think I had the acting background so I could talk to strangers and I had no shame. Like the minute you're like naked on stage barking like a dog.
Yeah.
Like I can talk to a lady on Madison Avenue and ask her if she wants to buy or sell it. Like, what's the worst that she's going to happen?
Play Zip Zap Zop with her. You
know? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I did a prompt too.
Yeah, so then I looked at, I was like, okay, so who are the number one real estate agents in the world? You know, they all had business partners and they all had teams. They were able to leverage their time. Uh-huh. And so as they would get one deal at one price, they would then no longer do deals at the price below. Their team would. And so then you would move up in price. So if you do $1 million sale, and my next client has to be 1.5 or above.
Okay.
And so everything below that, I do it. I'm not gonna say no to money and say no to doing deals, but unless it's a really personal relationship, now I've got Bill. Bill is brand new. Bill's gonna do $1 million and below until Bill gets more successful. And then we start riding up that price ladder, right? So that's how you then build a team. And then you build a team based on geography. So I wanna make sure that I always have a resident specialist in each specific neighborhood, in each specific block, so that I can get the call.
So important anywhere you go.
Yeah.
You know, like I used to think when I was growing up, like we'll teach Sienna because she's young. I used to think that like, you know, a realtor was a realtor, but like that realtor has to know like exactly like the fucking block that you're buying on. Otherwise it's pointless.
Really?
You know what I mean? Because like even in Manhattan, like, you know,
you got a point.
My realtor might not know what it's like. He might live in like Gramercy and not know what it's like to live in Tribeca or something like that.
Different worlds.
You know what I mean? So
they don't know the benefits of, you know what I mean? Like how to be like, oh, this is near the tunnel, so you don't want to live there.
Exactly. But if
you got to be better as a great salesperson, you got to be better than the internet. Like yeah. you gotta be better than the internet, and people hate being sold, but they love shopping with friends, right? Like you said, yes. you shop for your apartment with a friend.
Yeah.
And so, okay, so you're gonna be that friend, but how can you know more than Zillow, than StreetEasy, than Realtor.com? And
yep.
so what those things don't know, and they don't tell you, because all they tell you is the data. Like, here are the photos, here's the floor plan, here's the video, here's the price, here's what it was before. Now go make up your own mind.
Yeah.
So where's the history? Like, who knows that this building actually was on fire at yes. one, like actual fire? Who knows that actually across the street, they're about to tear down that building. And if you buy here, you're going to live in front of a construction site for 3 years.
Yep.
The internet isn't going to tell you that. So your agent needs to be educated to walk you through to make a smart decision. And, or you might say, listen, I'm looking to make an investment. In which case I would say, here's what we're going to do. See that building over there? Prices are discounted because a construction site's about to go up and no one wants to live across. But for you as an investor, that's baked in value. When that thing is done and you live across the street from Google, like you do, you know, and Disney, like you do.
Yep.
Like, I'm sold.
Where are those people going to go? Yeah. They're going to go right to you because you're going to be a better deal on the real sale market than anything that's going to be new construction.
Yeah.
And then I started my own company in 2020, like a lunatic. And then, so I focused on building the company. I am still a real estate broker, but for like the showing of apartments and things like that, I have, you know, we have a lot of agents now, and they help and they do the showings.
We live in, you know, the biggest city in the world, the best city in the world, the, you know, richest city in the world. Is New York by square foot probably the most expensive city in the world?
No.
No? What is?
London, Hong Kong.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
By square foot.
Or by square meter in those places. Okay. But by far.
Interesting. Well, what I was going to say was, you know, to come here and to do what you did, to build up, like you said, and now have, you know, when something says Sirhan on it, it's like the Nike check. You know what I mean?
Wait, send me that clip.
Yes,
I will.
Can you clip that and send it to me?
Because, no, I live in fucking Soho, the best neighborhood ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, our building is...
Bro, how much is that rent? You don't have to answer that. It's a lot. Sirhan, he takes up a whole fucking corner next to Cipriani. It's like, it's insane. Like, you know what I mean? To come here as a young guy, you're not like that old 80, 90 year old person that has been here forever. Like
my hair is
Rockefeller or some shit like that. I like the gray. How old are you?
39.
Oh my
God. 36. So young.
Bro, real estate empire. That's fucking crazy. Anyway, super impressive. And, you know, before I'll ask it now. So I think that, you know, like you said, you're acting, you know, the reality TV show. I feel like you merged the two together and you're the first one to kind of revolutionize that. Your tours. Did you ever see a real estate fucking thing on the internet before Sirhan? It was like a slideshow of like pictures. In Miami, it's still like that. They'll be selling like a $5 million apartment with like shitty like Nokia, like Polaroids. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what is this? Yeah. You know what I mean? And this guy comes in and he's like, here we are. Look at these ceilings.
Dude, there is a...
Look, and I'm like, no one else did that. Now everyone's fucking doing that. By the way, it doesn't take that much. Like nowadays, you can get like an NYU intern with like a fucking iPhone and to make it look sick. You know what I mean? So anyway, I think that's, I think that's what happened. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, we started
merging the two, the entertainment value with real estate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it started on TV, right? So Million Dollar Listing LA happened early on, and then they decided to franchise into New York. Mm-hmm. So I got into the real estate business in 2008. I'm renting apartments. Like I've got a few sales under my belt. And then there's a casting notice that goes out. And I put acting to the side. Like I gave it 2 years. I ran out of money.
Yeah.
I got my real estate license, and then I could figure out how to pay my rent. And I was able to justify my time better than sitting in like actors' equity auditions and doing free theater on the highway and all that. And so when that casting notice came out in 2010, so I'd been doing real estate for 2 years. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what? I mean, I've been to castings before. I played Dr. Evan Walsh IV on As the World Turns. Like, I could do
fire
this.
Fire episode.
Yeah. So I went to, so I went there and I just knew how to be in front of a camera when most other real estate agents like didn't really know. And I knew how to give them the person that I was going to be in 2 years versus the person that I was in that very moment, which was not reality TV worthy. Mm-hmm. And then when that show happened and came out in 2012, like it wasn't an overnight success. Like it took a long time. It took a couple of years. Yeah. Like no one was calling me, ringing off the hook. But I saw that the way we were showing property on TV was engaging to people. And then people would start reaching out to me about things I sold on the show 3 years ago.
Mm.
And then YouTube started catching on more than just like reruns and little kid stuff. And so like 7 years ago now, it's like, what if we take the same way I do property tours on Million Dollar Listing, but what if I could just do it today? Mm-hmm. Because you know, right? When you make a reality TV show, yeah, maybe your show turns around real fast.
Like months, 8 months later.
Yeah. So we would shoot Million Dollar Listing New York for a year mm-hmm. and it would come out a year later. So anything that I do on there is a year delayed. And so the show was never beneficial for like a seller mm-hmm. to say, hey, will you sell my home on TV? I'm like, no, yeah. I have to sell it
right.
so it can then be on TV. Yeah.
Right,
like that's
right,
the whole point of that format on that show.
I want to sell in 8 months. Can you make the video now?
Yeah.
You know?
So we started doing YouTube property tours as a way to say, hey, let me put your property out to everybody in their phone.
Yeah.
And the big differentiator was the arrow. Because when you watch a TV show, like how do you share it? You tell your friends, mm-hmm. right? Or you're doing it on your phone and you can share it maybe
right.
Now with streaming and things. But at the time, like you weren't watching Bravo and then like recording it on your phone.
Sending it, yeah.
But on YouTube, you've got the share button.
Mm.
And so I can make a property tour and then people would share it.
Mm.
And we started selling that way.
Right.
And then Instagram brought on video, right? And we started selling through that and getting like new interest and new people coming through that would come from all over the world. And then TikTok comes out during COVID and it was like game over from that point.
Yeah.
And so it's
because like your shit now is like not even, you don't even have to like want to buy anything. You're just like,
now watch. I'm like, I can get it.
No, I just watch it like it's a TV show. I'm like, I want to see like the different properties and stuff because like, I also know like it's going to be, you guys are going to like sell it in an entertaining way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Are you like casting like, these
like agents?
Oh. No. Like these realtors now have to be like super witty and funny. Like, you know what I mean? To do what you did. So are you like putting people like doing a casting call?
No.
Or like they're realtors and you're just like, kind of like, just like, yo, get some swag.
The ones you see that you like are the ones who like doing it. Like I have plenty of real estate agents who are awesome, who just will never go in front of a camera that way. And that's totally fine. Like they're going to have great livings, but the ones who do like doing it and that's a differentiator for them, then they do it. Like you know, as a salesperson who is totally commissioned, no salary, no benefits, no, like you gotta show up and differentiate yourself every day. So if you can build a following, especially when you're young, like I there's an agent that works with me. His name is Andy Claric. I found out about him on TikTok. And to this day, like he wouldn't even know what to do to sell real estate if he didn't have TikTok.
Uh-huh. Right.
Like that's crazy to me.
Right.
I'm like, that's just, it's nuts.
But like make the calls, do the leads.
To me, it was cold calling, Craigslist ads.
It's kind of like stand-up too.
Yeah.
Because she's a comedian.
Yeah.
And you know, like obviously the internet, like it changed the whole game.
TikTok changed it.
Yeah.
You can move so much faster.
Now you got to do your stupid like,
yeah.
Oh, where are you from? Like stupid crowd work.
Do you watch crowd work?
Oh, the crowd work clips.
It's cringe. It's starting to get cringe to me.
I think it's cringe. I mean, I understand like don't burn your material, but then it's also like you're doing shows for 50 people.
Which is why they do it, right? Because they don't want to burn the material.
Yeah. But it's like, just burn it. You like in real life, you're only doing shows for like 50, maybe 100 people. So you may as well just post and get 2 million people to see that joke.
Yeah.
When are you ever going to perform in front of that many people?
Right.
I don't know.
And it's like one joke.
It's one joke.
You know what I mean? But just like, I mean, the crowd work
and
stuff
the good
is
ones
cool.
You can watch over and over.
Exactly. Great jokes. I'll like just go back on YouTube.
Right.
Like that Bill.
Yeah, you see it pop up in the feed again. You're like, I'll have an enjoying moment right now.
Yeah.
Like, I know what's coming up.
Yeah.
I'm about to laugh.
Well, and a lot of comedians would be like, I don't want to burn my material, but they're comedians that don't really write material anyway.
Yeah. But that's, I saw the parallel. Wait, going back to the agent knowing the history and the things around it, you know what I mean? Because like, so I'm from Staten Island, right?
Yeah.
And there should be a show called Selling Staten Island.
Oh my God.
That shit. You put it on YouTube. I mean, people crush
it. Is, these agents are hilarious.
Yeah.
Like Staten Island, like its own world. I call it Guido, Alabama, because there's literally just like Italian people there that, and like, you know, they don't know any. Shout out to my boy, Chris. He's like some kid I went to like school with and shit. He's like, bro, this is a fucking nice house, you know, like, and like the girl, the older women, they're like, oh my God, like this kitchen is so beautiful. Like, you know, that's the extent of their real estate knowledge. You know, yeah. They're giving like a fucking tour.
Yeah.
Because I had a real estate deal go south and like no one knew what the fuck was going on. No one knew what like a property line was, what title insurance was. Cause also in New York,
disaster.
Also in New York, the lawyer
does the deal.
Does the most of the deal, uh-huh. The important shit.
Yeah, it's an attorney state.
Yeah, and other like in LA, there was no lawyer.
Yeah, the
so
agent
like
does it.
The agent had to, which was its own problem because I'm like, why am I fucking like doing a contract right now? And you're not a lawyer. I'm
like, and you're like in the car.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. No idea what I'm signing. That's this guy so was like funny. A CAA agent, and now he's like handling my $5 million or whatever.
Hilarious.
It wasn't $5 million. It was whatever. But yeah, so here, you know, so on Staten Island, yeah, it's so funny. They you know, some people just take like a course, mm-hmm. and they're realtors and they get paid mad money.
That's insane.
Like the lawyer gets like $1,000 or $500, and the old lady realtor that said you have a nice kitchen got like 40 grand. I'm like, yo, what the fuck? So I have a little bit of a gripe, you know, with certain people making like certain money and shit. In New York, it's different. However, bro, what's the most expensive listing you have right now? The fucking the Central Park.
Yeah, 195 million.
Oh my God.
Wait. Is that your listing?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you get, so if you sell it, you get commission to that?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
How much?
If I sell it, I mean, it's not easy. It's right. Hard.
How much is the commission to that? 100, we need a calculator. 195 million, was it 7% or something like that?
No, it's not 7%. It's 6%, but then you would share in it with a buyer's agent and
so after it all breaks down though.
That's insane.
I want to know what we're at. Because even still.
Yeah, I mean, I know when we initially listed it, you know, we listed it, it's, so I adjusted the price now, it's 195, but it was initially 250 million and the commission that we were offering to a buyer's agent that they can take themselves or they can use it to get a deal done. Like commissions aren't law that way, right?
Uh-huh.
Was $10 million.
What?
And so
that's for someone that's like, yo, you go to Dubai,
yeah.
You find some fucking prince and you're like, yo, look at this. And he's like, yeah, I want it. And you just made $10 million. I know I'm oversimplifying it, but that's what it is, right? Like if you can sell it, you get that commission.
I mean, you're putting a bounty on the property for the entire world of licensed real estate agents, you know?
Yeah.
And the buyers are fully aware of what all the costs are too. And so, you know, there's a lot of times a buyer will say, hey, I'll buy this, but what's the commission? And, you know, I want you to reduce your commission and get me a better deal. It's my money. It's the buyer's money.
Right.
And so it's either going to go to the owner, right? Or they could be split. You know, there's different things that you can do that way.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's, you know, so you could say, yeah, that's a lot. But I mean, look at how much Goldman Sachs makes when they sell a company for $1 billion, right? Look at what hedge funds make, private equity firms, right? They're taking the percentage on whether you sell or not.
Right.
Right. So they're saying, okay, so the assets are 195 million. So no matter what, whether the asset goes up or down, we're taking 2% for the year just because it's us.
I know, but we're going to manage it. It's like such numbers and like so out there that I'm like so far removed from it.
Mm-hmm.
I just refuse to like accept that my friend from Staten Island made 60 grand off of my house.
So you would never work in Staten Island. Not a problem.
I haven't. I mean, it's
well, he's
it would
expanded.
Take me too long. It would take me too long to get
but
there.
But yeah. Dude,
I mean, we might have agents there one day. Yeah.
It's crazy. I hope you make $10 million off of property.
Is it like 9 floors?
It's three floors. It's 17,545 square feet interior.
You never saw it? It's the, what's that big tower
Central
called?
Park Tower.
Central Park Tower.
Oh, yeah.
The lower duplex just sold for just over $100 million.
But now your commissions and stuff like that, like you're a guy that sees the future and your company and you have, again, I don't know how much that rent costs in Soho and stuff, but you're willing to... Seems like you invest back into yourself, back into the company and stuff. So it's like a business, not just like, I need to make commissions off of this, blah, blah, blah. It's I'm building something
I was a real
bigger.
Estate agent, you know, selling and making money for the first 12 years of my career up until 2020. And mm-hmm. in 2019, actually, I made the decision to go out and start my own companies. And then COVID slowed me down by a couple months,
yeah,
you know, by like 2 months. And then we started everything in September 2020. But everything we make now, I mean, I put right back into the business and then some, you know, to grow and to scale.
Yeah.
You know, there's no point.
Mr. Beast style. Yeah. You know that
there's, yeah.
Yeah.
There's
he says he puts every single thing back into his YouTube videos and stuff. And,
I think
never even has like a profit.
Yeah. The earliest, I mean, one of the biggest mistakes I could make, I think, is taking money off the table too early.
But it's your money though. Like there's nothing be over Sirhint. Like JP Correct. Morgan doesn't own it. And like you're licensing your name or something Correct. Like that. No. Like you built this real estate company. That's your listing.
Yep.
And now I'm assuming that people just want to list with you because again, I feel like, you know, you have like the Nike check mark of real estate. So people are like, oh, like I trust this guy to do the right thing, to sell this for me.
They trust the brand, you know, they trust the brand.
Yeah,
They trust the brand. And then, but it's also, I mean, it's a people business, like you said. So the brand only takes you so far. It'll take you only so far as the people. And if you're not careful, your first impression is your last impression. So you got to be smart, you know, you got to be careful. Wow. And now we're just expanding and going into different markets.
That's all I look at when I look at those real estate videos. I'm like, wow, this person is like, you know, sometimes like even, I don't know how they do it, but like sometimes some random person just gets like a $15 million listing or even a smaller one, like $5 million listing.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, if they sell this, they're going to make fucking a couple $1 million on this. This is crazy. Yeah. Like literally. And like that's life-changing money.
Yeah.
Like lawyers don't make that. Doctors don't make that, you know?
But it's really, really hard.
Everyone feels
that way, but they sure. So I hear that if you have
I'm not saying they shouldn't get paid, but yo, that's crazy.
But if you have a
money.
Database and you have that Rolodex and you put in the work,
it's competition.
Listen, it wouldn't be that way if there were salaries, right? If there were salaries, so there are benefits. So, you know, we sit with sellers all the time and they, you know, they say, really? So what's the commission that I have to pay you to do that? I'm like, first of all, you don't have to do anything. You just sell your house on your own. Go for it.
Yeah.
They say, well, no, I need an expert.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay. All right. So you need an expert, right? So I'm happy to do it. Like, well, reduce your commission. Like, well, I don't know. Let's go get somebody else who will reduce it. Well, no, I want to work with the best. Well, then I don't know what to tell you, man.
Right, like
you got to incentivize somebody to work for free until you decide to sell, especially in New York too. Like you could set the listing price of $5 million. I could bring you a $6 million offer and you don't have to do it. I could be out of pocket on all marketing, all advertising, all the cost of my time. It could for a year, let's say.
Oh, right. Because you do all that.
We do all that. We take care. All that's got to be upfront cash.
Yeah.
That you're putting out and putting out and putting out and putting out.
Usually it's just like a couple pictures, but you have like full production.
Yeah, dude, you're doing production. You're doing this. Like it's a lot. And then you could just say, nah, I changed my mind. I don't want to move anymore. Yeah,
do you guys take a higher percent than other firms?
No, but we should. You know, we should. Now that you bring it up.
I might. Look at her. Look at you.
Yeah. A great assistant.
You'll be out of Bushwick before you know it. Or you wish you lived in Bushwick. I don't even know where you live.
I do live in Bushwick.
Wait, so
Bushwick's good.
People can't also like I want people to relate to this. And we haven't really spoke too much about specifics about New York, but even like, you know, the Central Park Tower. People really can't comprehend the prices of Manhattan for just living in an apartment.
Yeah.
You know, I used to be one of those people. I sort of get it more now. Sometimes I'm like, yo, that's just ludicrous, out of control. But I want to talk about a little bit about that. You know, like most people that live outside of New York, they're like, what do you mean that little place costs $2 million or $3 million? Like, Vinny, what are you doing buying? Because when I lived in LA, my house cost the same thing as my apartment. But, you know, it was a house. I had a yard and, you know, I had like multiple bedrooms and stuff like that. You can see a little better quality of life. But here in New York, it's like, why does that shoebox cost, you know, because $2 million here will literally get you like the worst apartment, like two in Manhattan.
So question then, so why are you here? Why did
exactly,
you pay that money?
Exactly. Okay, guys, this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp is basically just all about therapy. And I definitely encourage everybody to get therapy, even when things are going great. I think it's important to get therapy because sometimes you got to get ahead of it because we're all going to face little challenges in life. You know, I've definitely had my mental health challenges that I'm open about with anxiety and stuff like that. So therapy has helped me drastically through all that stuff, you know, talking to professionals and just having somebody. And the best part about BetterHelp is that You can change your therapist at any time. So if you're not really clicking with somebody, you can, you know, just keep on trying out different therapists until you actually do, because that personal relationship is important. All right. So it's totally flexible like that. And it's online and it's flexible to your own needs too. You could just do it from your house. You could do it around your work schedule, around the kids or whatever you need. So I think it's definitely great. You should definitely, if you're thinking about giving therapy a try, maybe just start with BetterHelp, you know, just start with it because it's right there. You don't have to like go searching your local neighborhood for therapists and everything, which they might be good too. But like I said, now we've like just streamlined the process and it's just right at your desk, at the computer. Help is right there. So never skip therapy day with BetterHelp, okay? That is, I want you to visit betterhelp.com/Vinny and you'll get 10% off your first month, all right? BetterHelp.com/VINNY for 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/VINNY. Start your therapy journey today.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Because I learned that physical space doesn't really buy you happiness.
Sure.
Okay. Physical space, you need enough room for sure to have bedrooms, to sleep, to put your stuff. But once you like cross that threshold of whatever you need, having more space doesn't like give you happiness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like having three dining rooms will actually make you miserable before it'll make you happy, you know? So a city is sort of like a tool to make you happy and, you know, increase your productivity for your job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, not every city is created equally just based on you having a nice house. If you want to become, I don't know, like something in business or fashion or comedy, you need to live in New York or LA or something like that. You know what I mean? So again, I live here because I have enough space to exist, you know what I mean? To put my clothes in, and it's nice, it's dope. But after that, my happiness comes from my experience of walking outside my door,
location, having the comedy cellar
right near me, because I want to start doing comedy, of coming to the studio that's like walking distance from here, you know, having every restaurant around me that's fucking dope, you know what I mean? So that's what I learned during it. And then New York has all those things at your your fingertips.
Listen, it's a stock, right? You have penny stocks you can invest in.
Yeah.
Super, super cheap. Or you could buy shares of Apple or Tesla, and they're really, really expensive.
Right.
So.
But for a reason, though.
Not all stocks, correct, right? Not all stocks are created equal.
I'm just saying over here, it's not the reason of massive space. It's the reason
of. But it's the value of the city. Like the value of being in New York City, the ease of access to anything you could possibly want, right? You're at the fingertips of success here. If you want to get into comedy, finance, technology, real estate, construction, like you could be the wealthiest concrete guy ever and be based in New York City. Mm-hmm. You know, the teachers are paid more here, like the fire department, the police, like it's, if you want to achieve the greatest level of success that you could possibly achieve, New York City will actually make that easier for you than if you were in any other city in the world.
Yeah. Like, and there's value in that. You can't see it. You know what I mean? It's not a swimming pool.
Yeah, you got to go get it, right? Yeah. You got to go get it. But, you know, like a stock, though, you know, New York City has historically appreciated very, very well over time. Mm. So your $2 million apartment might seem like a lot, but you go spend $2 million in Ohio and get something amazing. But in 10 years, maybe it's worth 2.1, maybe.
Right.
Right. Depending, obviously. Here, right, you are, you're going to spend $2 million. And in 10 years, if it's not worth $4 million, something went wrong.
Yeah. Right, right. That's the name of the show. Something went wrong. Yeah.
What would happen if like a realtor was like, said it, okay, this is like, okay, if they sold a property and then they didn't say that, oh, construction is going to be built.
Nothing. I've been there.
No, it's buyer beware. Like you use an agent and you buy it at your own risk. Now, if the agent puts something in writing and lies,
disclosures.
Right? Yeah. Right? There's disclosures and stuff. Then sure. Then you can like go after, you can go to the Department of State. You can go to like the Better Business Bureau. There's stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like agents, the city and the agencies, and even me, like I don't want agents in this business that are lying and putting customers in harm's way. That's bad for all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if they don't know, because it's hard to find out and then you buy and then a building gets torn down. Like we've all been in that situation. It's New York City. So you just have to understand, like if you want a protected view, buy on the water or on a park. Mm-hmm. Other than that, anything can happen. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anybody says.
The city, on top of the Holland Tunnel.
Yeah. And you do anything on top of, look at Hudson Yards. Yeah. All the buildings that used to be surrounding around Hudson Yards, right? Had great views of the water because it was the train tracks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't build. Like where's the train going to go? That was the speech for 100 years.
Yeah.
And then one day they were
train
like,
was gone.
I wonder if we could build over the train tracks and build a podium over the train tracks to build a mini city. And there you go.
Yeah. It is kind of wild that, you know, you're buying a crazy huge investment, life changing for most families and people, off of seeing it twice.
Yeah.
That you're going to live in. And, you know,
video.
What?
Or a video.
Or a video. Sight unseen.
Yeah.
What's the craziest sight unseen you've ever sold?
$57 million on East 68th Street.
Oh.
Where were they before?
Last year, South Africa.
And what did they say? A fucking video?
Over FaceTime. Yeah, they didn't. It was too far for them to travel. We did everything over video finishes. They had somebody here in New York come and like do the inspection, make sure the house was like real.
Right.
Right. Is it this, that, the other?
But still, they didn't feel it. They didn't
show up until
in.
After they closed.
Oh my God. And then imagine they're just like some fucking like neighbors next to them that just like won't stop fighting.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, I didn't see this.
Too far to travel.
Wow. That's crazy. That makes me feel better about should I do without looking at it?
You know, well, I mean, listen,
$60 million.
People make massive investments into companies without actually going to the headquarters.
That's true.
You know, you don't like,
dude, you're going to be living there. You're going to be sleeping there. At the end of the day, we're all human. You know what I mean? And when you're a guy, like you just, however rich you are or whatever, you just, you need a comfortable bed that's quiet and stuff like that, you know? So it's tricky. I've been in that situation before where a lot of real estate deals are actually like that. You know, you do run into problems. It's not like a just perfect situation. And you have trade-offs you have to deal with and stuff, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. It's just crazy. What do you think about all the selling sunset sets type of shows and stuff that came out after Million Dollar Listing?
Yeah, it kind of came out during Million Dollar Listing. Million Dollar Listing New York ended because I started my own company.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, what the network said to me was, and this was in 2019, because I was going to do it. I was going to go start it. And they were like, just so you know.
Ryan's like, I got to make real money here.
Yeah.
No, actually it was the exact opposite, man.
Really?
Made way more money as a real estate agent. Starting your own company,
leaving the reality TV.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I don't know selling real estate without a reality TV show.
Right.
Like, okay. I was doing rentals up until 2010 and I got cast on that show in 2010 and I was brand new, you know, running around making calls. They cast me on Million Dollar Listing New York. That I was like almost thinking about getting out of the business because it was so hard.
Wow.
And I was like, maybe I go back to school, maybe move home. I don't know. Yeah, man. Because real estate, again, there's no salary. There's no guarantee. You wake up every day and you got to go talk to strangers all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that's not for everybody.
Yeah.
And then 90% of those strangers are going to lie to you and waste your time.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's not for everybody. So maybe I just go back to school and get like a job and just be happy and like have my nights, have my
stability,
weekends.
Stability. Yeah.
Like you, so you talk about the commissions, like the commissions have to be large to incentivize anyone with a brain.
Bro, I can't get around the 10 million. I can't get around the fucking 10 million.
I mean, if you,
I'm like, I want to do this.
Do it. Sell it.
Oh dude, that's my next thing.
Sell it.
Yeah.
We'll end this podcast. You go to Dubai, you go find that person.
I'll be your assistant.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm good at it actually.
That's actually insane.
But
What do you think about I'm sorry, go.
No, but so Million Dollar Listing ended because they were like, listen, it's a format. People turn it on. They want to see the three or four of you going and selling real estate, having an open house, getting a deal done or not. If you go and start your own company, like imagine watching Law and Order and then one of the detectives starts their own detective agency and then that's the show going forward. You'd be like, but what about the murder? Like,
yeah.
I turned this on to see my format.
Right.
So that had to end. And then we just finished the first season of a new show on Netflix that'll come out soon.
Okay. Real estate.
Yeah, it's real estate. It's about us, about a company.
New York,
okay. Right? About the company and follows a handful of our agents and it's totally crazy.
How are you
crazy,
picking your places you're expanding to? I see that you're in Long Island, Connecticut. I'm sure the Hamptons.
Yeah, Hamptons,
which by the way,
New
I'm
Jersey.
Not really a fan of the Hamptons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have a gripe with them.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Do they block you from doing something there?
Yeah, just fucking, it sucks. Like buying groceries. I don't know. I just feel like the Hamptons is, maybe I kind of experienced it the wrong way, but I spent a ton of money on a rental.
Yeah.
And it felt like the apocalypse every weekend there. Like there was never any cell phone service. The grocery stores were packed. Every restaurant was flooded. I'm like, this doesn't feel like an escape. Mm. This, you don't have to comment here because, you know, he sells houses in the Hamptons. But I feel like if you were like a billionaire and you just had like a fortress there that like you kind of never leave.
Yeah, they're nice. Those fortresses
on
are
the
nice.
Beach.
Yeah.
That's different. You know what I mean? But like just to kind of go and like be in 6 hours of traffic and like be inconvenienced while you're there.
So I have to take a helicopter, man.
Yes.
Yeah, but like, that's annoying. Like, I got to go catch this helicopter real quick.
Better than sitting in traffic.
What?
But dude, I'm not like Succession, okay? I'm Vinny from, I have like my dog in the back. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not doing, and then like, you know, this, that's everything so is overpriced. And like, I have no problem paying for shit.
Yeah.
When I think it's worth it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And the house is there. I actually like the prices there of like the actual houses for what you get. The architecture is amazing. I love like the architecture and the land and stuff like that. It's just that like once I was there, you know, I just like kind of didn't like being cut off from the world.
It's
you know?
Like a vacation house though, right?
Yeah, but it's like, I don't know. Like if you want to bring people there, they're staying with you for like 4 days.
Okay, got it.
You know what I mean? It's not like someone could just like shoot in and out. Like at the Jersey Shore, someone can do that. You know what I mean? You should hit up the Jersey Shore next.
We should.
You know?
Yeah, we just opened
in
New Jersey.
I'll head your division. Do you do Jersey now?
Yeah, we just opened in Jersey in the
what
waterfront.
Because it's so different.
Just kind of like from kind of Hoboken down, I guess from like Weehawken down to Jersey City. And then we've started to go inland to like Summit, Short Hills.
Okay. So it's like the North Jersey, like New York area, Weehawken, like that place, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have to. So we started expanding kind of basically up and down the East Coast. I wanted to make sure the first markets I went to outside of New York City, I was within emergency flying distance or driving distance. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's an issue, like I'm not having to bake in a flight to California, you know, or Arizona. Like that's far. Like I can't go in and out in one day that way, but I can get to North Carolina, do meetings and come home.
Are you doing North Carolina?
Yeah, we're North Carolina, South Carolina.
Wow.
We just opened Georgia last week.
A lot of people from New York moved there and stuff.
A lot.
Boston.
Yeah.
Boston we'll go to next. Okay. Yeah, I grew up outside Boston on the North Shore.
Oh, she's from Boston, where? Too.
Cambridge.
Okay. Yeah, so I grew up in Topsfield on the North Shore.
Okay.
Went to Pingree for high school and then went to college in upstate New York and then came here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So both my brothers are still in Boston. We got to go there. It's just different, man. Like, you know, when you're from New York City, like you're used to mass insanity at all times.
Sure. Yeah.
Mass chaos, the volume, the business. Like that, I sat down with you and did, so it's $38 million in deals.
That's insane.
When I sat down with you.
Yeah.
I can't.
Who knows what happened in the last hour since then?
I can't do that in Boston.
No.
I can't do that in any, I can't do that anywhere. Like no matter what. You know, yes, there are parts of London and Hong Kong that are more expensive per foot or per square meter. But when the market is good, there is nowhere better than New York City to be in this business or to be in any business. Like there is just nowhere you're going to get the volume. Yeah. Like we have, you know,
who are these buyers?
They're everybody, man.
Everyone wants, you know, like I always think about that when I pass, because look, obviously you got like the NBA player, you got the guy that owns Uber.
You'd be surprised.
You know, I know like the top, I can name like 10 people like, oh, they could afford that. They can afford that.
Yeah.
But there's like thousands of like
hundreds of them,
hundred thousands of like things that are listed over 10 million, 7 million, that people are just fucking just buying like it's buying candy.
But it's not really celebrities, right? It's people who are more.
No, it's like five celebrities.
Yeah. Not really that.
New York is
I'm like
a big.
I'm like the least. I'm on the bottom tier of that. No. But like.
He's very popular in our office when he bought that apartment.
I want to come in.
Yeah, the whole office is like, what, Vinny?
I live right
buying
there.
Buying an apartment? Will he come over? What's he up to these days?
Yeah.
He's actually so cute.
Yeah. Hopefully my building value didn't go down because of me. Wait, so yeah, who are the buyers? Like the people is everyone from China or what?
No. I wish. New York City is a global enterprise.
Yeah.
So people buy in to New York City like it's a corporation from all over the world. Mm. The schools are amazing. The job opportunities are amazing. The restaurants are amazing. The nightlife is crazy. You know, there's a whole host of things that people can do here. And then people just want to own a piece of it. You know, like we have multi-billionaires who have a small two-bedroom downtown because they just want to have a place here that's not a hotel. You know, we have private equity executives who have $50 and $100 million penthouses because that's just the way they live. And we deal with their house managers, you know, and like you have the golden triangle of the East Coast anyway, is the Hamptons to Manhattan, Manhattan to South Florida back up. So a significant amount of our clients in what we call our signature division, which is 10 million plus. Mm. So Sirhan Signature is.
That's like the Starbucks, what's it called?
The Little Mermaid thing?
No. When Starbucks has like their exclusive stores that you can get like sandwiches.
Oh, reserves.
At. Yeah. Starbucks Reserve.
Yeah, I like to think of it as like JP Morgan private client and not coffee.
Not coffee?
Yeah.
But
simplify things here, Ryan. Oh, no, sorry.
It's Sirhan Reserve Collection. But it is, you know, people, they have the place in Southampton, they have the place in Manhattan, and they have the place in either Miami or Palm Beach, depending on their age, you know, depending on what they like to do. And especially now post COVID, so many companies have now moved their headquarters to South Florida. Like the amount of business we just do in South Florida is insane.
Yeah, I remember that whole thing during COVID.
It's still going.
It's still going, but
it's 1,000 new residents a day.
Wow.
In South Florida?
Yeah, man.
But aren't they moving back though? Like,
oh, there are some. I mean, some
second,
but a lot of them are like.
Is it like Fort Lauderdale?
Fort Lauderdale, Boca, Del Rey is huge. Palm Beach, Greater Palm Beach County.
Yeah.
Miami, you know, Naples, Tampa. We just opened in Tampa.
I don't know. I want to get a second home there for sure, but I just get like a weird feeling about
Florida?
This Florida in general. Just like buying there. I feel like it's going to be underwater. I feel like, you know.
Parts of it. I mean, there's that thing that just happened in Jupiter over the weekend. If you saw like the cliffside, if like Jupiter Island, like this house, his pool just went.
Yeah.
You know, so like eventually the water wins.
Yeah.
No matter what.
It's like a stock.
Like it's been winning forever.
I feel like it's like a shady stock.
Yeah. But don't people say that about New York too, that like every year it's sinking? Or is it?
Yeah, the whole country is sinking.
Yeah. New York will just like build like well, they've a spaceship been building or something.
Yeah. On the east side of the city by the FDR, if you go up and down the highway, you know, they've been, everything that's like purple over there, it's all for coastal flooding.
Wow.
And they're going to make it park for now until the water takes it away. Yeah. But it's all there to help prevent water from coming in and like taking out Con Ed and taking out like what it did during Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah, my on my show, like they always be like, they think I'm stupid for living in the middle of the city because you always think like the apocalypse is around the corner.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, like we're good. Like we got all the scientists here.
Yeah.
We got the doctors. We got the people that you need to save. You guys live in fucking the woods of New Jersey. Like that's where the fucking aliens go. You know what I mean?
Was a family reunion?
Family vacation.
Yeah. When's it come out?
One just premiered. We're on our seventh season.
Nice.
One just premiered last week. So gotcha, we just like keep doing
except
that.
I've been seeing like the premiere.
Yeah. Yeah. One just came out last week.
Seventh season of this.
Of Family Vacation. Oh my has God. More than the original.
That's insane.
By the way, New York is like for people that are listening and stuff. I know that the news gives it a bad rap. Obviously there are some areas that are crazy and worse than others, like Times Square and stuff like that. But down here in other neighborhoods and shit, like it's fine. Things are popping. Things were popping during COVID when people, well, not COVID, but like right after COVID when things started to open back up again.
And you would have restaurants in the street.
Everyone thinks that New York is like, I am legend, but it's not. It's booming.
It was for a couple
it
months.
It was. It was.
Dude, it was awesome.
Yeah, because it was so empty. So much. Pull up to the restaurant.
Dude, I made a video. We made a YouTube video where I started on like 86 in Central Park West and I ran down to like the Statue of Liberty in Battery Park City. Uh-huh. And we're just running down, like I ran through to empty Times Square, running by cops.
Yeah.
So I was like, it was April 2020. And I just told my guys, I was like, guys, we have to go get this video because it'll never happen again.
Yeah.
And we just, let's drone, let's do shit. The whole city is just empty.
Yep. Yep. It was like a movie set.
It was like Vanilla Sky, the beginning where Tom Cruise is like, you know, he's driving through Times Square. It was the coolest, sad, but cool.
Right.
At the same time, it was crazy.
Yeah, but like my dad calls me. He lives in Staten Island. You know, every time there's like a protest in Times Square, he thinks like the city's burning down. I'm like, Dad, the birds are chirping. Bradley Cooper is in front of me right now doing pottery.
Selling a sandwich.
Yeah, like everything is chill. It's not, you know, obviously if you go to a certain area.
It's just a 5 p.m. Square, it's just a 5 p.m. protest. Like, right. Exactly. No problem.
Times Square is like the worst place on earth. Like I would never fucking go there. That's not what New York City is. I know we have to go soon, but one more question. Before we leave, I can talk to you all day about this shit. So you sell real estate and stuff, but what do you think about just real estate advice? Like, what do you think about people that say like, don't buy homes, buy investment properties, you know, stuff like that. I have my opinion on it. I think that, you know, cause I buy my properties, right?
Yeah.
You know, and because you can have a good argument over renting something too, and then invest your money, and then you
depends on what your goals
outdo
are.
The stuff. I just the way I see it is like, look, I'm not an expert in many things. I can kind of rationalize
real estate
in my head. I can see it. I can live in it. I can use it.
Yeah.
If I was like an expert property buyer, then I can maybe rent my place and then make a ton of money off of that. But that's not my business. You know what I mean? I'm not like walking around with like a clipboard and a hard hat, like going to check my properties and stuff, you know, but it's not the best investment to make also, you know what I mean? Because when you own a house, you get a lot of carrying costs and, you know, it's fucking annoying because like shit breaks, you can't call the landlord and shit and stuff like that. So I just know that there are a lot of, you know, those like motivational guys out there that like, say don't buy houses and this and that, blah, blah, blah. So do you
tap into- Because they want you to take that money and invest it with them.
Right. So do you tap into that world, like the real estate as an investment type of world, I'm sure?
I think it's to each their own. If you don't want to buy a home, do not do it. You don't have to. You know, if you are going to make a real estate investment, it's nice to actually be able to use it.
Right.
You got to live somewhere, you know, and rent is, for the most part, just lighting money on fire. Like you're not building equity, it's going to someone else. You're either paying your mortgage or somebody else's.
Yeah.
So you want to help him pay his mortgage or do you want to go pay your own?
But it works if you take that money and then go invest it elsewhere. Sure. And then, you know, now you're ahead of the game. Sure. But not everyone does that.
Yeah, most people as long as you work with someone who's educated, who's a professional, which is why real estate agents aren't going away, which is why there's more of them now than ever before, because even with the internet, even with all the websites and all the data, all it does is create almost too much information where buyers say, hey, I can go do this by myself, but I don't know what the right information is because the data on this website is different from the data on this website. And I asked ChatGPT and ChatGPT said to work with a real estate agent. So I don't know what to
do.
Right. The same way like eTrade.com and Fidelity and Robinhood didn't replace Morgan Stanley and UBS and Goldman Sachs. Like the people who are the best in the business can make people serious money. And,
right.
you know, I get a significant amount of joy both from helping clients make a lot of money, you know, from great real estate investments and like watching them do that, especially when they told me what they were buying was too expensive and God damn it, I wish I wasn't doing this. And then a couple years later, I'm like, hey, so you happy now? Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, well, good thing. This was my idea in the first place. I'm like, yeah, sure. And then watching real estate agents like build their lives through pure grit and hustle, you know, it's really, really cool. It's cool to see. But I think if you have a down payment and if the monthly cost with the mortgage, the real estate taxes, and any utilities, right, is at or around what it would cost you to rent, then why would you rent? Unless you want to be transient.
Right.
Like if you
want to move around.
Yeah, if you're going to move to LA and you don't know where you're going to be in a year or two, then don't buy.
Yeah.
You shouldn't, like, don't put yourself on that kind of financial pressure. I mean, go for it if you're going to make an investment or you're getting help or you're paying, or I don't know.
Yeah. But, or if it's a place you can rent out, probably.
Yeah,
possibly.
You can rent it out later. But don't buy based on anything staying true forever, just like in New York City. You know, people are buying short-term rental properties to do it through Airbnb, and then one day, Airbnb illegal.
Yeah.
So anything can happen at all times,
yeah,
and just be smart.
How are you dealing with the interest rates and everything? You know, because
better now than they were before.
Well, you said they're better now?
They're better today than they were last year, for sure.
Oh, did they come down again? Were they like 7 now or something?
They're under 7, yeah.
Under 7? Okay, that's good. But also, I don't think you shouldn't get so scared of that, because like if you get the price lower than it was when the interest rates were lower, people might jack up the prices. You know what I mean? Evens your monthly payment kind of evens out, right?
Yeah. So, like if you're going to buy a place for $500,000, you know, 2 years ago, that place was probably 650, 700 grand 2 years ago. Today, maybe it's 500, 550,000. Yeah. Maybe, again, this is all relative depending on where you live.
Right.
And yeah, your monthly payment might be a little bit more, but your purchase price is going to be significantly less because now you have negotiability. Now, there are some markets where that's just not true because there is absolutely no inventory.
Yeah.
And the prices consistently go up because the average days on market is still 7. But in a lot of markets, pricing has come down. Has it come down to pre-COVID levels? No. Pricing is still expected to go up 5% year over year at this point, kind of tracking along. But you have to remember you live in that monthly payment unless you're paying purely in cash. And so, you know, rates last week were at 7%. You know, this week you can basically go get a loan for 6.5%. Right.
Okay.
So, and someone might say to me, and we hear this all the time where people say, well, but if they go back up to 7, I can't buy. I'm like, you're focusing on the wrong number. What you should be focused on is the difference between 6.5% and 7% on $100,000 that you're borrowing, let's say, is $33 a month.
Right.
So for you to not go get that home that's 500 grand versus 700 grand because of an interest rate differential that's half a point, you're basically saying, hey, I'm not going to go get my dream home and buy right now because rates are too high and the $66 a month is too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you've got, I don't know how much that Starbucks drink is.
Sushi.
Dude, all
little
the stuff.
Edamame.
Dude, I don't know how you leave your house today and not spend $100.
Yeah.
Every day.
See, this is how we get you. This is why.
But it's true.
This is why he's Nike.
Dude, it's true though.
Yeah, I know.
It's so hard to leave your house today and not spend at least $100.
So I'll end with this, but like so many people, you know, they try to talk you out of things and they're like, oh, like so many people are like, don't buy now. They've been saying that for like 8 years because they're like waiting for like the market to fucking crash. You know what I mean?
Not buying an apartment today or buying a house today because you're afraid the market is going to crash is like not buying a convertible that you're obsessed with because it's going to rain.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You never know.
Of course it's going to rain.
Of course it's going to rain.
Of course the market's going to crash.
Right.
But what happens every time the market crashes? It goes right back up. And every time it goes up faster than ever before. And listen, dude, I was with a guy who was like in his 70s the other day, who like wasn't about to buy an apartment that was going to be amazing for him. And he was going to pass it on to his kids over a couple hundred grand. We'd negotiated for like a month and he's in his 70s.
Uh-huh.
Right. And my response to him was, you know who else was sitting around afraid to make a decision one day? The dinosaurs.
Right.
And then they all fucking died.
Yeah.
Because the comet hit and it's just over.
Yeah.
It's just over.
Right, right.
So like, what do you, the dinosaurs wish they were here and they had your penthouse opportunity and they don't. So just buy the apartment. You're not going to remember. Like, do you remember how much you paid for your apartment?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you remember exactly, but most people, like a couple years go by, like, did I pay I paid 3.6 or 3.7. I don't know. I paid in the high threes.
Right.
And yet at the time, you're like, no, fuck that guy. 25 grand. I'm not making the move.
Yeah.
And you're never going to remember.
You never know. You got to live life. You got to enjoy it. You know, if it's something you really like, obviously you don't want to get like too bamboozled that something is crazy overpriced, but it kind of all equals out at the end of the day.
As long as you understand. You live your life. As long as you understand the system.
Yeah.
No matter what, all of us in the United States and pretty much every country, we are all employees, right? Yeah. You work for the government, right? We do. We're paying tax on everything. You pay tax on income. You pay tax on the coffee. You're paying tax on the income that comes from the coffee you sell. Like we pay tax and tax and tax and tax and tax. You pay tax when you buy. You had mortgage recording tax on your loan. You had transfer taxes on the transfer of the deed. If it's over $1 million, you're paying a luxury tax.
Yep.
So as long as you just understand that there is a system and that we're not really buying or selling anything, it's just kind of all transferring back and forth, then play the system to use the system.
Right.
And live the absolute best life you possibly can in that system, because you're trying to complain about it or to say, oh no, I'm going to get the better of it. It's never, ever going to happen. And so just try to be the smartest person in the room when money's on the table and just be happy.
Yeah. I have problem being the smartest person in the room. So where could, so you have a new show coming out. We can't really talk about it, but be on the lookout. Netflix.
Yeah. Netflix.
Can't wait to see it. The return to television.
Oh my God.
Yes, the return.
Reality TV.
It's very stressful. I've seen like pieces of it. It is, it's funny.
Is there
you have like a production company? Yeah, like you're creating drama and shit.
Yeah, there's tons of drama. It's real estate agents in New York City. It's insane. But it's very, you know what's crazy about it is, you know, Bravo, you know, it took a year because there was one film crew and there were three of us. And so I would film like Monday afternoon and then they would go follow one of the other guys and then I'd film maybe for an hour on Thursday. And to sell property, I mean, so it'd take a year. This, then Netflix came in, multiple film crews, and you got 3 months.
Yeah.
And we're just going to follow. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So everything that's in the show, there was no, there's no time to think. Like you watch The Housewives or anything on Bravo, like there's a lot of thought that goes into all those moments.
Mm-hmm.
On Netflix, like for us, I don't know about the other shows, but everything you're going to see is like very, very real, very authentic, and very traumatizing. Like it is just purely pure chaos.
Yeah.
Like it's just gonna, I'm gonna have
also like, people like that, you know, they're used to doing a certain thing and selling and stuff like that. And then once you have to get involved in reality TV and you're being vulnerable, your real life is being out there, your relationships, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Your amps.
People start acting different.
No, you know better than anybody.
Exactly. Exactly. Once you put that you know, and then
camera in your
face. Then you get stuck in these like weird equations where you're like, wait, like, I have to say this so I look better. And then you know what I mean? It's like, it's super stressful, but you know, it's fun. And I think it'll help them help the business and stuff like that. And we need like a New York.
Yeah. There's no New York over real estate show on the air at all right now.
Wow.
So this will be the only one.
Yeah. No, we got to show like the fucking dope apartments. Fuck LA. Fuck those mansions. No, I'm kidding. I'm not though.
The BBL woman.
Yeah. The bottle girls that became waitress, that became realtors. But nah, yo, thank you so much for doing
this. Thanks for being a client, man.
At Ryan Serhant. We're going to put it up there soon. You know, if you guys are in the market for $150 million penthouse
or smaller,
nope. I'm going Serhant signature here.
Okay. Got
okay?
it.
Serhant signature. Yeah. Are you going to go to like the lower markets and stuff like that?
We
like,
are,
you know what I mean?
Oh man.
Yeah.
We're in 8 different states. I think
a little $200,000, $600,000 property.
Yeah, luxury is a mindset. It's things can be expensive,
right?
But luxury is a mindset. So as long as you know we bring a luxury attitude to everything that we sell in every market that we're in.
Yeah. And with the brand, you know, it's dope.
Oh, I just wrote a book. It just came out last week. I totally forgot. Brand It Like Sirhan, book 3. It's out. It
Brand It
me.
Like Sirhan.
Yeah, go get that book.
Seriously. What
See
you
the
did
new show on Netflix.
Years old.
Follow me, Ryan Sirhan.
Super fucking impressive. You're a legend. New York icon. I'm honored. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Fire. What's up, guys? If you like the episode, please make sure to like, subscribe, and comment. We are building this thing from the ground up, so we need your help, and hopefully we can make this really big one day. Love you.
Yeah.